If you argue for your limitations, you get to keep them.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Some guys, I see them every year and they're like, well, I didn't do this because you don't understand. It's different. And someday we'll do that. I'm like, you're not committed. You want these things. You're interested in these things. It's not the same as being committed and just getting them.
Have you ever felt like there's a secret club of successful contractors and you're left outside? Want in? Well, you just found the entry door. Welcome to the Wealthy Contractor Podcast. Each episode, we pull back the curtain, revealing the stories, strategies, and secrets that top leaders use to grow their home improvement business and enjoy more success, more wealth, and more freedom. Discover more at thewealthycontractor.com. Now let's get into today's episode. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Wealthy Contractor Podcast. With me is Patrick Redioff. He's in D.C., and he's a roofing contractor. He's been here before, return guest, great friend of the Wealthy Contractor and G4 and Accelerate and all stuff around here.
We love all the stuff, man.
Love all the stuff. So tell me, how's business?
Business is great. We're on pace to do 11 million this year.
Good for you.
We haven't made it past 10 before, but we're going to do 11. We're 1.2 million ahead of where we were for the first half of last year in revenue, and over 750 ahead in sales. And it feels good, man. Like, things are clicking. Things are clicking.
What's clicking? What's really working?
Everything, man. Literally. No, I'm telling you, like, literally everything. So when you reached out and said, hey, come back and be on here again, I asked Fraser, I said, what does he want to talk about? She said, you know, Brian, he'll come up with something. And I was like, all right, well, I'm going to roll in there prepared this time.
One of us has to be prepared.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, you always ask great questions. But I thought, you know, I've been on this journey with Brian and stuff for years now, right? Starting with your tour with CertainTeed and then Accelerate and all this stuff. And I was like, man, every time I see Brian, I come home and I make more money somehow. And so I started thinking about your book, The Seven Secrets. And I was like, man, people always talk about how they study Think and Grow Rich. And I realized, like, I have so many freaking notes in your little book. Like, I have studied Think and Grow Rich, but I study your book. Like, I always go back to that, because before you even wrote it, I felt like when I would show up to Accelerate, that was the roadmap. It was like you were working on this thing in the background, and then here it came. It's a book. But when you showed up to Accelerate, there was an element of mindset. There was an element of dreaming. There's elements of planning. There's elements of, like, just get it done. You got to understand all these things. And when you finally put it in the book, I was like, man, that's awesome. And I know we talk about the book, and you have great guests on your show who talk about different pieces of what they've got going on. And I thought, you know what I'd like to do, even just for myself, is sit down and go through every chapter of your book and write down, what does that actually look like in my life and in my business? Like, how did that manifest? And I think if I kind of go through and do that, that might give you a good picture of, like, when you say, well, what's working? And I say, freaking everything.
Well, and before you do that, so it's interesting that book, you know, some people get it and understand what, like, you get it and understand what that book really is. And some people don't, because they're just looking for, well, just tell me about the next great marketing thing. Well, tell me about the next great sales thing. Well, unless you've got the right foundation in your head,
yes,
none of that stuff is going to make a difference. And I know from my own personal experience how important mindset is to being successful. It really is the difference. It's what you, the mindset and action. And you're a big action guy. It's all about implementation and execution.
Struggle with the action because they don't have the mind.
That's right. Yeah.
Right. And so, and I've told you this before, my only criticism of your book is number six, chapter six, the wealthy person, wealthy contractor takes control of their mind, should be the first chapter. And we can't undo this, but I'm going to start there.
Well, I can next time.
It can next time.
There is possibly an updated and expanded edition in the works, possibly.
I love that. So, you dabbled in this at the Accelerate, and early on, and this is one of my favorite topics. I mean, mindset's everything. Moving that to the first chapter to get people framed up, right, is the only thing that I would change about your book. But if we believe that our, nothing we do happens without a thought first, then our thoughts become beliefs. Our beliefs drive our actions become habits, and whatever we do habitually yields our results. And you've said that, and that I really latched onto that, and I found other ways to learn more about that. But we have to be careful of what we let rattle around in our brain. If we have thoughts of scarcity and, oh, there's not enough leads, and I don't know if I can do this, that we're nowhere. So how does this look in my world today, now that I've kind of taken control of that after, being to your events and hiring coaches and stuff? Is I start my day writing down the following things, and it takes me 5 minutes. I write down my worthy goal, right? That vision of what do I want? That's my North Star. I'm headed here. How do I become that guy? I write down six things I'm grateful for. I write down 5 to 8 affirmations or things that I'm trying to reprogram in my brain so that I can be that guy. And I write down 3 wins from yesterday, and I write down one thing that I'm looking forward to today, but it's written as a positive outcome to what I think is going to be my biggest challenge. So if I have to have a meeting with a employee that's struggling, like I write that as I'm looking forward to a great meeting with Susie to get her back on track. And that's it.
With an outcome. With a positive outcome as if it's happened.
Because I might be dreading having that conversation, and that's not going to serve anybody. I have to choose thoughts intentionally that are going to serve me for the day. So I'm going to choose a positive outcome, and I'm looking forward to that happening. So for me, that solid morning routine of getting my brain in order is going to make the difference, because all day my brain's going to look for proof that all those things are true. It's going to deliver answers, solutions to me, opportunities rather than problems and threats and all that stuff. So that's what that piece looks like for me, right? So that's your chapter six. That's my chapter one, right?
I'm gonna consider that because you make a very good point there.
There you go. Now, let's go back to your chapter one, right? The wealthy contractor knows what he or she wants and reverse engineers their business to deliver those results. When I was a kid, and I say kid, I'm almost 50. When I was in my mid-20s, like I had this idea in my head, like I wanted a white farmhouse, I want some land, I want a pretty wife. I think I said this on your podcast years ago. It's like I always held that, and I always worked towards that. But it wasn't until I started hanging out with the likes of you that I started understanding, well, wait a second, what does that look like in dollars? Like, let me write this stuff down, first of all. I got to get it on paper, get it out there and settle it, and start assigning some dollar values and go, well, if I want to have all that, I have to make this much money. But if part of that vision also is like, well, how do I spend my time? Do I want to be the guy hammering the nails? Or do I want to be like, I see myself as a coach. Now, I don't want to coach other businesses, but I love coaching the people in my business. I like developing people. So it was like that all became part of the vision. And so then I started, first of all, wrote it down, got specific about what I wanted in life, what I wanted. And then, okay, what does my business have to look like? How much money does it have to make? I worked through the exercises in the book to figure out, like, in your workbooks at Accelerate and stuff, right? Like, and it's like, all right, well, I don't have to have a $50 million company, right? I need, now I have a leadership team now. We've set it at 40, but you start talking to people like, I'm going to scale to 500 million. I don't need that trouble, right?
It's good to know that, isn't it? It's
Yeah.
so good to know that.
What am I supposed to do with this business? Well, if I can do this, this will serve me and will serve the people that work for me. We can continue to do things for our customers. So I got really specific with that, and that became that worthy goal that I write down every day. And I write it down, I'm so happy and grateful now that
That's magic. That's a magic. Yeah, it's magic that just those putting those words and then putting something behind it. It's magical. By the way, this is flipping awesome. I had to the listener, this was not planned. I had absolutely no idea. I just wanted to get back on the phone with my friend Patrick, get an update because he's always doing great things. This is so much better than I could have even imagined. So, all right. So I'm just going to let everybody know that this was not planned. This is as big a surprise to me as it is to people listening. So
I'm glad you like it. And be honest, I did it for myself.
Yeah.
To help serve you. But like this was a great exercise for me. So chapter two is the wealthy contractor takes total responsibility for every outcome in their business and their personal lives. My dad beat that into my head as a kid. And so I had that pretty well licked, but we got to remind ourselves sometimes, right? We can't, you know, we aren't waiting. What I think, here's your quote. We aren't waiting for something outside of us to provide. We're relying on our own hard work, determination, and will to make our lives better. If you don't embrace that as a business owner, get the F out.
Yeah.
I mean, every human being should take responsibility. I like to remind myself that life is happening for us, not to us. And the sooner we realize and appreciate that, the sooner we're on our way to make like maximizing our lives.
And you know, the most successful people in this business, they're not going to let what the economy is doing impact them. They're not going to let the, you know, outside forces that they have absolutely no control over, like government, president, Congress, interest rates, all this shit. We have no control over any of that. So the only thing we have control over is the person we see in the mirror.
100%. You know, if a supplier rep calls me and says, "Hey, are your sales a little down? You know, our sales are down." I say, "Get the F out," and I hang up on them. I'm like, I don't you know, yeah. I don't want to hear it. You're not selling enough. I'm selling plenty, man. You know, we took 250 grand worth of material out of your place last week. Don't bother me with it. Or last month, sorry. So when I don't get the result I want that I was expecting, the very first thing I do is examine my actions, my beliefs and thoughts, right? Going backwards down, you know, actions, thought, you know, beliefs and thoughts. What do I think about this? You know, the buck stops with me, Brian, right? So if I didn't set expectations properly, if I didn't help create the right process, if I didn't, you know, sign up for the right system to do this, I can't expect somebody else to yield a result that's any different than, you know, what I handed to them. So I'm always going to do that. Did I train them right? Did I not plan well? We got to pull apart and find the solutions. And by me doing that, we've created a culture at Pond where other people see it the same way. And the people that couldn't see it that way, they don't work here. They don't. They either just don't come, or they figure it out early, or we get rid of them when we figure it out. And I have a really great team, and everybody, like, they understand you can make a mistake, but we right away need to say, here's where the mistake happened, and here's some ideas for avoiding that in the future. Work it into our process. So in our business, that's what that looks like, is people take responsibility. I put people through the Jocko Willink Echelon Front Extreme Ownership Program, and we do like a weekly review, and that's been awesome because that is 100% own your shit. That's how chapter two is showing up in my life. Chapter three, the wealthy contractor is 100% committed. No matter what. I mean, of course, if you dilly-dally and shit, you know, if you're not committed to going and making the improvements, you're nowhere. You have I think that's the chapter where you have a pretty long quote about that. I like the shorter one. Until one is committed, there is hesitancy, the chance to draw back, always ineffectiveness.
Yeah.
And I believe that. And look, I'm guilty of it. So rather than tell you all the ways I'm winning in that, you know, here's a place where I got it wrong before I got it right. Last year, I have this guy who's been working for me for years. He's got the perfect temperament. He's sat up here and dreamed with me. He's been through the mindset training program. I've been through all the things. And it was finally time for him to become our sales director. I needed a sales manager. I couldn't, I'm spread too thin, right? Well, I made him part-time coach, part-time salesman, right? You know, player coach. And, you know, because I was living in scarcity, how am I going to make up his sales if I take him out of the lineup? Well, guess what? In the beginning of this year, we flipped the switch. Actually, while I was at Accelerate, was his first week as full-time sales manager. And now we're $1.2 million ahead of where we were for the first 6 months.
Yeah.
There's no problem getting the sales. I got him touching our salesmen. We have seven reps now because he drove us to more reps. He's training the reps. He's touching them every week. We've got sales meetings. He's got one-on-ones. There's constant coaching. It gives me more time to like just come in and touch them a little bit more on mindset and stuff because I'm not worried about all the mechanics. That's what it looks like in our business is commitment to, no, just bite the bullet and go.
Amazing.
Your dream is to have a sales manager. Just do it. You gotta, you don't want to be the guy that's the director of all things. Just do it. That's the,
awesome.
All along the way. No excuses. Got to be committed. I love this quote. If you argue for your limitations, you get to keep them.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Right. Well, you don't understand. It's different. You know, I'd like to have this or that. I mean, I may not meet so many great people at your Accelerate conference, but some guys I see them every year and they're like, well, I didn't do this because you don't understand. It's different. And I someday we'll do that. I'm like, you're not committed. You want these things. You're interested in these things. It's not the same as right. being committed and just getting them. Chapter four, the wealthy contractor understands the business they're really in. And I love that. And your buddy, Brian Gottlieb, has a great take on that. And it's funny because I love the words that he said at Accelerate this year. And it really, I had been thinking in the same direction as him, but I didn't know how to talk about it.
Yeah.
Right. And it's, you say, hey, look, you're in the business of, you know, basically like creating,
keeping and multiplying customers. Yeah.
And we've been doing that. And so we just happen to sell roofing, siding, windows, and doors. But I realized that by extension of that, like you have to love people. You have to love your customers and you have to love the people that are here. And so without a doubt, I own a business to pay for my lifestyle for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm 100% committed to that. Once I'm past that, the next step is it also has to serve the people that work for me.
Yeah.
I have to pour into them and I have to pour into my customers. Customers have to have the greatest experience they could get. And the people who work here and are executing the processes to give those customers that, they've got to have a good experience.
Yeah.
So we're very much committed to constantly improving our process so that it multiplies happy customers.
So what's interesting about that is, you know, at the beginning, you've got to be, we talk about being a sales and marketing organization. So sales and marketing organization really is another way of saying we're about creating, keeping and multiplying, you know, happy 100%. Customers.
Yep.
So Brian, it's funny, at Accelerate was like, and I've heard him do this before where he says, you know, I used to think that I was a sales and marketing company, but now I'm this. And I push back on him on that. I don't know if you remember that. I pushed back on him because at the beginning, up until about probably a year or two ago, from where you were before you get to 10 million, you've got to have a very good system in place to be able to do the create, keep, multiply happy customers. After a certain point where you are now, it now becomes, you've got that foundation in place, and now it all becomes about developing people in the organization. And that was Brian's thing, was, well, what we really are, we're a people organization. We're a training organization of people. Yes, I totally agree with that.
That's focused on marketing and selling.
At the beginning, because it's all about the customer, like you said, it's about the customer, it's about the team, it is about the people. But the only way that you really create happy customers is by having a great sales and marketing system, because part of that is also the experience that your customer goes through. That's marketing too. A lot of people don't realize that.
That's the thing. I haven't gone completely to Brian's side where it's like, yeah, I just develop people. It's like, no, every day this process has to run the way we designed it or better, because if we don't have happy customers that are multiplying, developing people doesn't mean shit.
Exactly. Well, but hopefully what's going to happen is, do you have somebody in that seat right now that's accountable to marketing results, or is that still you?
Oh, no. Yeah, I have a great marketing director named Taylor. She meets with Michelle over at the Wealthy Contractor, G4. And, she's monitoring that. We have a weekly meeting to go over everything. And she's awesome. And because I was wearing that hat, right, for many years. And it was, I was not very efficient at it.
You were good at it. You weren't as efficient as you could be because you had other jobs to do in the business.
That's right. So in our business now, for this chapter, we pour resources into improving the process for our customers. That experience, we spend a lot of money having G4 do the follow-up stuff. We love that. People love that. They respond to the emails. That's, because it's not enough that, okay, we've got a lead. We went out to the house. The customers got a great experience there. We did the job. Like, we take care of them all the way through. And then it's done and they pay their bill. And then here comes the G4 thing, right? We're pouring money, pouring things back into them. They feel like they're part of the family. They keep coming back. We love that. And, and as far as the company's concerned, we do mindset training, leadership training. We have flexible schedule. We support the people in their personal lives. For customers, automations. We've got great technology and just constant improvement of our processes so that we eliminate the misses as much as possible, right? Things are going to go wrong. Sorry, let me fix it. We are 100% after a peaceful experience for everybody, and everyone here is committed to that. Your chapter 5, the wealthy contractor takes control of their time. Boy, how many years have we spent saying yes to shit that just sucked the life out of our day? Figuring out what I'm actually good at. And look, I still have some tasks that I have to do here and there, but they're so simple, right? Me daydreaming and coming up with the right ways to word something and constantly reminding people of the vision for the peaceful experience and happy customers. That's where I really excel. And that's what the people around here want me doing. So we constantly are trying to find ways to just have Pat spend his time on those types of things. Because I'm sitting there helping other people find ways for their job to be better.
This episode is brought to you by Rilla. Rilla is the leading virtual ride-along software for the home improvement industry. That means when your team goes out and talks to homeowners in the home, they record their conversations with the Rilla mobile app. They use AI to automatically transcribe, analyze, and give them feedback to improve their close rates and help your sales manager save dozens of hours every month. If you want to have your sales manager with your rep on every single appointment, go to Rilla.com and book a demo. That's RILLA.com. It's about leverage and it's about highest and best use of your time.
Your quote is, my favorite one for your book is, you must begin thinking of yourself as a business investor and business builder, not the owner, which I thought's interesting, right? Not just the owner, a producer, an employee, or a gap filler.
Yeah.
You're building this company and you have to come at it from a different angle. And this is why the mindset's so important, right? I tell myself every morning, I'm a ruthless manager of my time. I write down that I'm a competent servant leader to remind, so that when I get to the office, that's who I show up as. You got to eliminate the time suckers. And that means you got to hire the right people. You have to spend the money to hire the sales manager, to hire the marketing director. You got to spend the money to have G4 do your follow-up marketing. You got to, spend the money to have a really good company do your SEO and manage your ads and stuff. You don't need to be fiddling around with that. I mean, my marketing director doesn't do our social media posts. We hire some. It costs us a few hundred bucks a month.
Yeah.
You have to be willing to buy back that time so that you can do much more important things.
That's right.
And, you know, to your credit, I mean, you helped me see that and get there. So I say no a lot. So today I say no a lot.
Yep.
I don't schedule recurring meetings for Mondays and Fridays. Those are my, like, get things done. Those are all, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And, you know, and I stopped doing estimating like 5 years ago, Brian.
Well, and what, you know, what kills business owners, like, you know, we could talk about this industry, but really it's in any industry. You could take a dentist and say what kills a dentist's business is him at the chair doing dental work.
Oh, yeah.
You can't, that's not a business. That's just a job that you happen to own. And what happens with us business owners is we get stuck doing activities that there are other people that can do better, faster, probably cheaper. But if we're tied up in doing $20 an hour activities, well, if you, even if you work 50 hours a week, that's only $1,000 a week that you could make.
Yes.
And so the more you get rid of the $20, $50, $100 an hour activities, now it opens the way for $1,000 an hour activities. And that's when things really start to happen.
That's when it starts to multiply. You know, I wrote down this thing where by 2026, we wanted to be at a certain revenue and a certain net profitability. And my role reduced to coach.
Coach. Like, that's right.
Just walking through and coaching people up on mindset and stuff. So your chapter six is, you know, the wealthy contractor takes control of their mind. We hit that. And number seven, as you well know,
it's your big one.
This the is wealthy your big contractor one. Takes massive unrelenting action. And, you know, that I'm better at times than others, right? Like, you kind of ebbs and flows. I like to do things carefully. Like, I like to have a plan.
Me too.
I mean, I'm an entrepreneur. I've taken plenty of risks. I bought this company. I mortgaged my house to buy it and stuff. Well, I say mortgaged it. I signed it over to the previous owner, you know, signed the notes, and it worked out, you know. But I still, like, I want to understand what I'm getting into. But you have to take action. Your quote is, the difference between great people and everyone else is that great people create their lives actively, while everyone else is created by their lives, passively waiting to see where life takes them next.
I think that's a Gerber quote, right?
Is it? I forget. So. Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, Brian Kay said it.
Okay. I like to give attribution where it's due. I think that's a Gerber quote.
I should be more careful, but I took it out of your book. And
no, it's okay.
So I have a quote. I don't know where I got it, but I like to tell people, be the thermostat, not the thermometer. A thermostat on a wall is deciding what happens in that room. A thermometer is telling you what already happened.
Oh, I like that. That's good.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah. And because you could set the thermostat too. We talk about the thermostat as it relates to income.
We'd say that all the time. And we say, hey, you know, maybe your thermostat's set too low. You know, it's like, hey, if you're running around making $80,000 a year, okay, and you've told yourself, I want to make 85, you're never going to get to 85. But if you set your thermostat at, I'm a $100,000 guy,
yeah,
you're going to blow past that 80 grand. And maybe you do, or maybe you don't get to 100, but you got past that 80, and then you set it at 200, and watch how fast you get past 100 and 150. So yeah, when we talk about income, I don't know where I got the be the thermostat, not the thermometer, but you have to contrast the two, right? The thermostat is the one creating the action.
Yeah.
Turn this on, turn this off, turn it on until it gets to here. Thermometer is just like,
yeah,
this already happened. Here's where we're at. And that doesn't help us at all.
Doesn't help. Yeah.
I love the book, The Gap and the Gain.
Yeah.
Oh man. You know, I only read it a month ago. It's transformed lives in my family, at my business. It's just awesome.
You know what? And I'm glad you brought that up right now, because I'm going through a gap problem right now. Big time. Big time. Yes. I'm glad you just reminded me. I need to be reminded of this shit too, by the way.
Yeah, man. We all do.
Yeah.
The beauty is, if you recognize the gap, It's so easy to get out of it. What's the gap? Can you share it?
I wouldn't necessarily say it's, well, and here now you're gonna process me now. So I wouldn't necessarily say it's easy to get out of it. So it's funny because last night we were out with friends, and one of the guys sold his company a few months ago. And I said something about the gap that I'm in right now. And he said to me, he goes, you know, it's something about recognizing the accomplishment. I think what's tough for us as driven entrepreneurs that take responsibility, that get committed, that are just hard driving forward, is that for us, yeah, we may have accomplished something today, but tomorrow's a whole new day. And I'm not going to rest on what I did today or yesterday, because now I got today and I've got next week. And I think that that's in it, it's in us naturally. And it's a force that sometimes we have to battle against because of the gap in the game, because it's very easy to say, okay, well, I have this much, whatever, income or net worth, whatever. But now I want this. And all you see is the difference between the two, which is the gap. But what we don't see is, well, wait a minute. What was all of the stuff that you did to get you to where you are today? Let's measure ourselves
Backwards.
backwards, right? Why don't we measure ourselves to where we've come to, rather than measuring ourselves against something that is a moving target?
Well, and to be clear, and this is really important. The point of that is we all need fuel to push us forward. Okay? And if you spend your time looking at the gap between where you're sitting today and where you want to head, it's okay to be like, that's, I'm going there. I want to get there. But if you spend your time focused on that gap, it just leads to disappointment and depression, right? Because you can't do enough fast enough to fill that void
To
in
fill the void.
your heart,
Exactly, yes.
right? So the only thing you can do is measure backwards and say, I'm going there, and all this shit behind me is the proof that I can do it.
That I can do it.
And so
That's
that
right.
you focus on that, and it gives you that fuel, that rocket fuel. And I don't mean to steal an EOS term, right?
Well, they stole it from somewhere else because that's been around for a long time.
But that will charge you up. We have to constantly be looking for anything that will push us forward. And by looking at accomplishments, what better way? I mean, I sat down one time when I came back from an Accelerate conference, and I got out a yellow sheet and I wrote 2 pages of wins starting from when I was in seventh grade.
I remember that. You
Yeah,
told me about that.
I probably did.
Yeah, you told me about that.
And it was like, and so, and I found it recently and added to it. And there was a lot of stuff that got added on top.
You know what? I should do that exercise now
Man,
because I'm in the gap. I should do that exercise now.
it will really, yeah, look, so you're trying to get somewhere. You're stuck focused on where you are and where you're trying to get.
Yeah.
Is there any doubt in your mind that you're going to get there?
Well, doubt does creep in. The doubt and fear live inside of the gap.
I know. That's be so stop.
Yeah, I know.
There's plenty of evidence to sh
It's
Yeah, it is.
not
You gotta write it down
that
every morning, Brian. You gotta t
No,
you
yeah.
have to you have to remind yourself that there is plenty of evidence. You start every Accelerate conference telling us about your failures.
Yeah.
Hey guys, listen to me because I know, because I've been there. This many years ago, I did this and I went to here and then went down to here. But look at what you've created today.
Yeah.
Anyway, I know we got a time limit, so let me get to the last. We were already talking about chapter seven, but here's what it looks like in my life. Okay. The actions that I've taken, right? First of all, I got that morning routine down, right? I programmed myself to be the guy that has everything in that goal. I've started planning the moves and implementing. like years ago when I first met you. I've hired, you know, coaches and consultants. I love the book Who Not How.
Yeah.
Right. And so what does that look like for me? I keep coming to the Accelerate conference. I hire vendors that I've met there, you know, Sean, CCN. I went outside of that. I was a BTA member for a while. They helped me organize processes and stuff. We hired Anglis. You know, we bought some different things, packages from him. We buy the stuff from Echelon Front. You know, you can pay people to teach your people to do the things.
Yeah.
That's action also.
That is action also. That's
yeah,
right.
Some people think, oh, I've got to do all these things. No, go hire somebody to do it. And it may not be you. Some guys get caught up there like, well, but what if they teach it a little different than the way I want it? You should be standing there making sure that everybody understands your vision for how you want it to go and tweak it. Let them teach your people and say, hey, but here's the little modification for how we do things here. There's nothing wrong with that, but get them in there. Get them teaching your people. We organized the business, you know, documented job descriptions and SOPs. I got out of estimating. I hired a marketing director. I hired a sales director. I had an installation director, and I finally empowered that installation director to just totally handle stuff over there. Part of that was we empowered the whole installation department to solve problems on their own. We have, if a project is worth this value or less, they can spend $250 to just get it done. Somebody forgot, oh, we bent this or that, just fix it.
Just
know?
Fix it, yeah.
And then above that, you know, they have up to $500 before they have to get approval. And I stole that from your buddy, Jerry, Yankee Home.
Yeah, well, and we used to talk about that at the customer experience workshop. I used to call it the raving fan fund.
There you go. You got just solve it.
By the way, you know where that comes from? The Ritz-Carlton.
Oh, that's right. You've totally right? talked about that. Yes.
Every employee, every staff member is empowered to make decisions on the spot.
Just solve the problem.
Yeah.
I created a leadership team and we implemented EOS. Game changer. I don't care how small your company is, to implement EOS. Have those meetings every week. We use 90 to manage our meetings.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, you don't lose track of, I can't tell you how many ideas I lost track of over 10 years because we dream it up and we, all right, well, how do we get that done? And they just into the.
Well, and they're in notebooks. Like I've got on my desk alone, I've got like three notebooks where I've got a bunch of notes and ideas and stuff. And yeah. It got lost.
We implemented a stepped sales process. Is it perfect? No, but man, we got steps and the guys that are following it are putting up, you know, $250,000, $300,000 months pretty consistently.
Yeah.
You know, so everybody's seeing it. You know, we got engaged. Like we're doing, you go to the events, you find the stuff that's going to work. We invest money in technology. We put it to work for us and it does things. That's taking action.
Yeah.
Constant improvement of the process. That's action. You have to be in there doing it. And there are a few other resources that you have that I haven't taken advantage of yet, but we will at some point. And I think other people, you know, listening should be aware. So I know that you and Mark Curry do, you know, have done some great stuff with the Profit Workshop. I've heard him speak at, you know, at Accelerate and learn some tricks and stuff and listen to your podcast and everything. And I know that you have the Success Society.
Yeah.
You know, so for taking action, like guys, if you're in this and girl and women, sorry, if you're in this industry, you got to join the groups, you got to join the masterminds, you got to go to Accelerate, you got to, you know, your success. There's, you know, I've used the different groups over the years for different things.
Yeah.
Right. Like BTA was very specific about organizing and process. They actually ultimately recommended that I implement EOS. And then I was done with, it was like a phase. Like I was done with my implementation of their stuff. And it was like, you graduate. It was like their stuff kind of looked like EOS. I could have gone straight to EOS possibly, but they had a lot of great, you know, and, you know, you CCN is a friend of you, you know, friend of your, yeah. You guys. And now you have the Success Society. Now you guys are teaching some great processes and you have resources and, you know, I think that's going to be a really awesome resource for people. Maybe, you know, different size businesses, whatever. I mean, you would know more about that.
Yeah, we have clients from 1.5 million up to, I think the biggest company in there is 20 million, something like that.
I mean, what a great place for the guys who are at 1.5.
Yeah, and they get to mastermind. You know,
Yes.
they have a facilitator, and you know, you and I both know the power of a good mastermind group.
It's worth every penny, you know, and it's hard sometimes. Guys go, "Why I can't pay for that." Bro, you can't afford to not pay to join these things and go to these events.
Well, doesn't it go back to, by the way, I'm really going to consider, I think you're right about moving number six to the beginning.
Sure.
That book was built on it's kind of like, here's the foundational elements. So you got to know what you want. You got to take responsibility and you got to get committed. That's like the foundational elements. Without that, the rest of the stuff doesn't matter. But actually, before that comes having the right mindset.
Because it's like all this stuff that's coming, it's really important, but you have to have your mind, you have to be having the right thoughts about these other six chapters, or they're not going to work.
You know, it's really interesting as I'm working inside of the Success Society and working with talking with our coaches and our group facilitators, it's really a couple of things that hold people back. And it's your chapter one mindset, believing I can actually do it, and the implementation. Those are the two big pieces. And it's such a personal thing because it's not something anybody can do for you. It's something you have to do yourself, which goes to taking responsibility and making that commitment, and then taking control of your time so that you can do the things that you need to do in order to build the business that works for you and works for your family.
You have to take control of the thoughts that are going through your mind. Because we have these thoughts and these beliefs, and we believe, well, there's a lot of head trash, Brian.
There's a lot of head trash. I have it. I have to deal with it every day.
I think back to when you had me on your podcast, it was, years ago, and I remember us talking right before it started, and I apologized to you. I said, "Brian, I'm sorry. I hope that I say something worthy of your listeners." And what a stupid thing to say. Like, of course, somebody was going to get something out of our
Well,
discussion.
what was my response? I didn't say it was stupid, but my response was probably the second part of that, which was of,
You were like, "Oh no, I you'll do fine."
but that's a self-limiting belief. Yeah,
Yeah,
that's head trash.
here's a guy, like, I was finishing, I had made that year double in 1 year the amount of money that I ever thought that I would make. You know what I mean? Like when I was younger, I was like, "Man, what I'll probably never make more than this much." And I made double that year. And we had a great team and everything, and it's gotten even better since then. But it was like, what a dumb thing to be thinking. But we wander around with those types of thoughts, the doubt, the, am I worthy of this success? Do I, the imposter syndrome and stuff like that. And we really need to start with fixing that. So that when we go into these situations and we're learning these things, we go, "Yeah, I can get if that I can get that done. I can get that done." That's my take on your seven secrets. And
Wow, that's amazing. And by the way, let's acknowledge something. So back to, wanting what you want. So what was it you said? You wanted a farmhouse, you wanted land.
I got
And
it
so
all.
what did you build from the ground up?
I've got a beautiful white, kind of contemporary farmhouse, modern farmhouse on 8 acres of land. I got a beautiful wife, got two awesome kids, got a couple dogs. My dog Rick, your favorite dog, we got some chickens. We spend weekends on the boat. I got a fast car. We get, it's like it's working, but it's not just that. But I have peace when I go to work because I've got an awesome team, because the people here are great and we're taking care of them and they take care of each other and they take care of the customers. And so I was on vacation last week. Nobody called me, Brian.
It's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
I got one text from my sales director and it was just kind of like an excitement thing, not a problem to solve. And man, how awesome,
Amazing.
And now he's gone this week and nobody's bothering him. Everybody's solving their problems.
I'm very, very happy for your success, but I think this is a good end for this episode. We'll have to do this again soon.
I appreciate your existence, Brian. I mean, this is you've transformed me and my business.
Well, cool. All right, everybody. So, okay. So a couple of things. If you want a copy of the book, The Seven Secrets book, I'll buy the book. You just pay shipping and handling. Go to thewealthycontractor.com. Very simple. Thewealthycontractor.com. And it's right there. And then he also was good enough to mention Accelerate. Accelerate tickets will be going on sale soon. So be on the lookout for that about mid-September. So be on the lookout for that. We're going to have, I think, the biggest event this year was the biggest event we've ever had. We had over 400 people. Next year, we're going to be in Jacksonville at the Omni Resort. Not Jacksonville, I'm sorry, Amelia Island. You have to go to Jacksonville to get there. But this resort is amazing, amazing. Like, and it's the conference area. It's got a separate conference area that's all for us. So it's gonna be a very cool event. All right, everybody. So until next time, this is Brian Kaskavalsian, and this is the Wealthy Contractor Podcast. Hope you enjoyed this week's episode. For insights on skyrocketing your home improvement business and accelerating your journey to the success, wealth, and freedom you've always dreamed about, be sure to get your free copy of my best-selling book, The 7 Secrets to Becoming a Wealthy Contractor, at www.thewealthycontractor.com. And don't forget to follow us on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss an episode. See you next time.